You're tuned to Perspectives, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Perspectives. And joining us today are Professors Russ Canelli, who's going to be my co-host, and we're going to be interviewing Eva Diemer, Diego Capelletti, and Alex Pastor, along with Gary Williams. And Gary is the director of...
And Gary is here with us today, and he's the director for the Center for Research, Entrepreneurship, and Innovative Enterprises, called CREE.
And so, Dr. Williams, tell us a little bit... Is it Dr. Williams?
It is.
It is. Dr. Williams, tell us a little bit about this program, how it got started, and what its main function is.
This program got started a little over 4 years ago. The center was established, and I came on board actually April Fool's Day, so I could always remember the anniversary. And the main purpose, mission of the center is to help faculty, students, local entrepreneurs, and staff commercialize their technologies. And we've been actively engaged in that now for over 4 years, and seemingly all our hard work is really paying off because we're seeing some real wins in the competitions and a lot more people that have taken interest in starting up their own business and thinking about their intellectual property and what a difference it can make.
Well, explain a little bit about what you just said as far as competition.
Well, we've had now for 5 years a Paso del Norte venture competition. And this year, for the first year, it included teams only from the Paso del Norte region. In the past, due to the lack of the number of UTEP teams, we had to reach out to our sister state, Colorado, and invite Colorado State and Air Force Academy. But about actually it was early November of last year in our first organization meeting, we talked about whether or not we could make this an all Paso del Norte contest, which would include teams from UTEP, NMSU, and Juarez. And the challenge was given out to CREE, myself and Jenny Clark, the associate director, to determine whether or not we thought we could come up with enough teams. And we took a look at the different projects, the people that we were supporting, and we thought we could. And actually, we had a target of 8 teams in the final competition that was in early March. There were 7 great teams. In fact, the first 4 prizes went to UTEP teams, including the first prize, the grand prize, won by American Water Recycling, who is represented here today by these 3 terrific students.
And again, as I mentioned, Eva Diemer, Diego Capelletti, and Alex Pastor Russ.
Yeah, and I would like to say, too, that I'm so proud of them working together, and Gary and I have worked on this for a while. And from my point of view, one of the things that I have always loved to try to do was a big interdisciplinary interaction. And so here you have a student from what department are you in?
Materials Science and Engineering.
Materials Science and Engineering. And then we have the 2 gentlemen over here from business. And that is a real interdisciplinary interaction, and it's absolutely necessary to develop these days in order for the economy to get better, for the creativity to go up, and for students to get jobs, which I think is a key issue.
And, you know, this was something that was, I guess, your idea. It was your idea. The fact that you, myself, and Dennis Wu interviewed the chef at Italians. And so there we are, you know, combining 2 different departments and different disciplines. And we got a lot of calls about that show and people wanting to know because they don't see the other side, like the fact that cooking is chemistry. Chemistry and cooking and taking orders, that's communication. And so what you students all did is you combined different disciplines and showed that, look, it takes all kinds, for lack of better terms. You want to say anything about that, Eva?
Sure. One of the goals for the Paso del Norte Venture Competition was, I believe David Novick sat up and said that this was so that the engineers could understand the business side and the business side could understand the engineers, which is so crucial to any business. If you're on one end of it and you don't understand the liabilities that, you know, come with the engineering prospect of it, and if you're on the engineering side and you don't understand the financial aspects, you're going to have major problems in moving forward. So this was a really great opportunity for students to, at the student level, you know, I mean, there's businesses that you hire somebody to do this for you or you hire somebody to do that for you. But this is a more of a team oriented thing where we're all learning. We're all learning different sides and aspects of it. So I think it was a huge benefit. It's something all students should consider doing and all advisors should consider their students doing because it's a great learning experience for everybody involved.
I want to add to that because one of the things that my background here, I spent about half my career at Exxon and half my career here at UTEP, and I always tell the graduate students, nobody got promoted at Exxon by taking a test. You got to talk, you got to write, and you have to form teams. And I think that's one of the things that I'm so proud of this group here for actually taking those principles and really making a big mark.
Now, gentlemen, you as Eva mentioned, were also part of the team, and you were taking the business side of it. And as Russ mentioned, there are, you know, everybody says there are two sides to a story, but when Dennis and I, since we're journalists, we know that there are more than two sides to a story, and there are various angles. You got to communicate. You got to learn how to do this. You got to learn how to do that. And you have to learn a little bit of everything to make it work. So tell us from your point of view, each one of you, how was it as far as working with Eva and not just working with Eva because she was an engineer, but the fact that you're out of your discipline?
Well, it was, as I said, at the beginning we met the first time, and I think for the first month I was totally lost about the technology and tried to understand what she's trying to say me and tell me about graphene, about flex, about all this stuff. So we were learning every day, so we started doing some research about all the information, tried to understand what was going on actually at the beginning. It was like the first month was try to understand everything, and then once we understood basically what was the product, the service, now we got to put into numbers and markets, and that's when Alex and I think we were more helpful in that point.
Can you tell us about your part, Alex, and what did you think about the project once it got going?
Well, as Diego said, when we met Eva, there was a lot of technical terminology that really I don't get scared quickly at all. I tend not to, but at that point, I was just like, "Whoa, what's going on here?" And I do remember Gary and Russ mentioning that, you know, don't focus too much on the technology, but focus more on how this can become a business. And I kept that in my head, and I kept that in my head, and I realized, okay, so I just need to understand the concept enough to actually for us to consider how are we going to sell this or how are we going to communicate the idea for investment.
But now if I give you guys a test on graphene, you'll do very well, won't you?
A lot better than we would have, yes.
For sure. Now, Gary, as far as, you know, when you find out, as Alex mentioned, that he was lost, when as a journalist, sometimes we get assigned stories that, you know, medical stories. In fact, a lot of the awards that I won were science stories. But you have to do research, and you have to find out what's going on. And then if you have a company and it's very successful, you have to bring in another discipline, or you have to learn a little bit about communication and communication skills so that you can explain to the people what your company does in layman terms. Because if you interview a doctor or someone in the military, they use these big words that you have to bring down again. So as far as in addition to getting these franchises or businesses getting started, what about those communication skills and advertising and marketing and all of that? Were you able to work with them on that at all?
You know, one of the qualities you look for in an entrepreneur is their coachability. Will they actually listen to different ideas and determine whether or not it's a path that one ought to take or not? And these three have been some of the most coachable people I've ever worked with. They listened. And in between listening, they really worked hard. And there was a lot of uncertainties. When I think back, even in January, where we were overall with the business plan, there were still a lot of unanswered questions that had to be answered and addressed because we weren't in full appreciation at that time where this technology would make the biggest impact. And I give Eva a lot of credit for that. I believe her previous experience working in industry allowed her a perspective that you normally don't see in somebody as young and knowledgeable as she is. And she really took a big step forward. And her Diego and Alex really supported her any way she wanted and she needed. And it was fun to see this thing come together. I mean, I remember giving him a pep talk with about 3 weeks to go. We still have plenty of time to finish the business plan, right? Because I think the other thing that should be said is Diego's wife was expecting with child. So it was a matter of writing the business plan and helping out, with family things.
We have a joke about those meetings that we talked about. Yeah, that every time we would meet with Gary, we'd meet once a week, and he would really help us out with where we stood and what we needed to work on or what we needed to work out. And he would always say, you guys don't have that much time. You guys, it's only 3 weeks away, you guys. And by the end of the meeting, he would always end the meeting by saying, you guys have plenty of time. You guys have plenty of time. So we
yeah. But even, Gary mentioned that you had some, which I think from students that I've seen is an unusual background, both studying and going to work. Could you describe it a little bit? I think it would help other students out there.
Yeah, actually, a lot of students think that they need to remain in school in order to get that job, and sometimes it just takes going out and getting that job first. And so I was lucky enough to actually work with Dr. Chianelli as an undergrad on a patent for a biodiesel analytical method, which we just got granted. It's exciting, but that led me to get an immediate position in a biodiesel startup company. And that experience has definitely facilitated everything that's happened in these competitions with American Water Recycling, because the startup experience is unlike anything you could ever expect or imagine. Everything that's unexpected happens. And getting exposed to that as a bachelor's student really opened my eyes for what a graduate degree is about. I really feel like I feel very strongly about making a job and making jobs for those around me, rather than just graduating with my degree, hoping someone's going to, look at my resume. And that's not what higher education is about to me. It's not about the pedigree and getting the notoriety or getting a publication. It's about using that and applying that higher education towards making everything better around you and making it easier for everybody around you.
So what made you decide to come back?
Well, I think you remember it was you. So I was having a tough time, and it was a pretty rough startup. And I remember thinking, gosh, is this going to be my life? So I ended up approaching Dr. Chianelli again, who had helped me with an undergraduate patent. And I approached him about, what should I do? How should I negotiate with this company, or what should I, should I look for another job? And he said, why don't you come back to school and get your PhD so then nobody has to tell you what to do ever again? And I thought, that's really a good idea. And so I decided to re-enroll. And actually, I think one of the things about that meeting was the graphene too. You threw that out. You're like, how would you like to stop working on biodiesel and work on graphene? And that was a no-brainer. So.
Well, I think for our audience there, we ought to tell them a little bit what graphene is. So I'm going to ask the business guys to tell our audience, what is graphene?
It's an awesome material. It has a lot of
Because some people out there are probably thinking about grafting.
Grafting, right?
No, it's graphene. It's the strongest material on Earth. What else? Help me, Alex.
It's 200 times stronger than steel. And
MIT says that it takes an elephant sitting on a pencil to break it, right?
Something like that. That's close enough. quiz over. Graphene is actually a one atom layer. It's a one atom layer of graphite. So anytime you're writing with a pencil, you're making graphene. And as Alex said, it is 200 times stronger than steel. It was actually Cornell that came out with that study, but MIT is a close second. And then also, graphene is more conductive than any other material on Earth. And that's one of the biggest interests for its applications is in electronics. So we were, our company's focused on the impermeability aspect of it. That's another super property that graphene has. It's impermeable to even helium. So we are starting from that basis, and we're making a really awesome water filter.
Let's talk about that because earlier in the week that we had the vice president of the El Paso Water Utilities, and earlier in the week she was also on the front page of the newspaper, basically showing the fact that not just San Antonio has a river walk, but so do we. There isn't any water in the river, and the fact that people need to learn how to recycle water, take care of water. Does your company, what you were working on, is that going to help a little bit with that, or is that completely off base?
No, absolutely. That's actually what we aim to do. Our business is based on helping industries that have considerable disposal fees for any type of wastewater that they have. We're focusing on selling systems to these industries to help them recycle water. And our first customer base is for a group of people that they don't need that water recycled back into their own process. They just need to dispose of that water. So the first option is, well, our technology can actually clean that water and make it better than drinking water. And what we're going to be putting it back into the environment, which is something that's really never, ever been done before. So we're excited about the ecological aspects and impacts for that and just helping out. We think that, yeah, there should be water in a river, right?
Exactly. So, Gary, what happens now? They've won this competition. They have the startup company. So is this company theirs now, or is it still because it's academia and they did this while
you're
school?
Looking at the three founders right here.
Okay.
They founded what is called a C corporation, which means they can sell at least two different kinds of stock. They've understand here within the next week their bylaws will be finished, and they'll soon, within maybe 30 days, have their first board meeting. They have very tough negotiations, license agreement with the university, which should be signed within the next week. And so they'll have all the freedom that they need, just like any other company that gets formed, to go out and commercialize this really exciting technology.
I think one of the things that is interesting to talk about, which goes back to what we called, when I was first here, we had something called the WAG Committee, the Washington Advisory Group, which was telling us and our president, how we're going to get to Tier 1 in research, okay? And one of the issues that came up, which was always very clear to me, was that patents, which are, the right to practice exclusively some technology, were something that the university initially was not too interested in. But as we talk later on about, jobs and competition, and especially like here, developing technology, which starts at UTEP, and if patents issue at UTEP, the state owns the patent rights. These are really the kinds of things that go out and make it possible for you to raise money, venture capital, to create something that's going to make money for the university and for the owners. And so the ability to generate patents and the ability to have a good relation between a startup company and a university are things that are absolutely key. And I think Gary and other people here at UTEP have really helped us get to that position where we can do it now.
How do you guys feel about this? The fact that, I mean, what Gary just said, you guys are the founders. You have your own company now. You're not out of school yet. You're still students, but not just students. I mean, you're high intelligent students, and the fact that you have your own company. And the fact that, if somebody comes up to you and says, well, what do you do? Well, we have our own company, and it's not, Bob's Burgers or, Beto's burritos or anything like that. But, and, of course, some of those can be very successful as well. But the fact that, I mean, this took a lot of research, and as you guys have told us, a lot of work and a lot of probably hair pulling. And though, sometimes you work better under the stress. You know, if Gary said, you guys are running out of time, you are running out of time. And Dennis and I, it's ironic, we were talking about that just before the show started because we're running out of time on something that we're working on. But that's the way we worked in television news. You know, somehow somebody always got murdered right before the newscast or a fire happened. So whatever you were working on was going off and you have to start. So as far as you guys having your own company now, and if somebody perhaps there are some people out there listening right now who are maybe hesitant and about coming to school or are maybe like in Eva's shoes. They get offered a job somewhere and they say, well, you know, I think I'll stay here because it sounds pretty good, the money, not realizing that you need to keep going to be, you know, to advance, as Dr. Canelli said.
Well, for me, it seems like a dream came true. It's like the dream of any MBA student, or I don't know, a lot of MBA students wants to build their own company and actually be able to run it and help. It's like a dream come true, I hope.
Diego had two babies, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
He had a real baby and then a company.
But I don't regret the hours that I put into this, and my wife was very supportive, and well.
And Alex, I understand now you're going to become a physics major next.
My head's headed in that direction, yeah. But like Diego mentioned, the ability to have your own company is great because you're actually able to implement your own ideas that you have had all along instead of relying on, you know, other people's direction that may or may not be the best direction. Another point to mention is when it came to the deadlines, it really did help us as a team because we literally had sessions of 10 or 11 hours of nonstop working. And if we didn't...
Did you ever get in fights with each other?
Well, it came close.
There was a couple of times, but it all worked out in the end. There was a lot of collaboration in those moments, and things at the beginning that we had no idea we ended up having answers for that same exact day. So it was just a lot of dedication on the team's part, and willing to work with each other is huge.
Let me ask you this question. How did it feel walking into this giant hall and waiting for your turn? And tell us about some of your experiences there, because you had to wait a lot, right, and watch other people. And
yeah, well, actually, we were the first team to present, but the room was very intimidated. And I was very scared. I don't know if you guys, but I was very scared of presenting.
I was ready to just get done. I was ready for it to be over. So I was excited, but at the same time, we were entered into two competitions. Which
felt like you were in shock.
Kind of
like I'm finished, right? And
yeah, you know, it's more of the preparation that would stress me out, and then once you're there, you know, ready to give a 10-minute presentation, it's what you worked for, so there's no more anxiety about should I change this or should I change that. And we were kind of perfectionists up until the very end, and waiting was kind of just relaxing. We just kind of felt like, oh, we get a break for a second and you know, get a little bit of a breather. Yeah, we'd listen to it. We had a little pump-up song that was kind of fun, and everybody had Lucky Rocks, I think, to help focus on being there.
You had a little what?
We had little rocks that we carried around, like
little rocks,
like small school children. Yeah, I could say this definitely was our winning formula.
Well, I think we definitely got some people excited at home or in their cars, wherever they're listening to the radio, because nowadays, and you know, with technology, you can be hearing, listening anywhere. So what do people have to do if they would like to participate in this program, be in part of one of these contests, contact you? Do they
have to contact
the class or
Cree? They can find us on the UTEP webpage. They can call at 920-0890 and speak with me personally. We've actually have since the competition more students that have come to the office and want help. And, I mean, I think this is contagious because other students who have always questioned whether they could do it whether they were good enough, whether they had the capability, are now saying, you know what, my colleagues can do it. I'm going to give it a try. And I think this is a terrific catalyst that this team has provided to entrepreneurship and commercialization on this campus.
Eva, I want to ask you a question as far as, you know, a lot of people sometimes, and I'm asking you because you were, in addition to being a student, you were also working full-time. The fact that sometimes you get tired at your job and you'll go, man, I wish I had my own business. I wish I was my own boss. And not realizing that it takes a lot of work to be your own boss, especially at the beginning, and a lot of business. And the fact that, you know, when you're running an office and you have people working under you, you have to remember some of the things that upset you when you had a boss. And so did you learn some of these lessons, the fact that because you had that work experience?
Oh, yeah, definitely, without a doubt. Having that experience. And I didn't just go to a job that was like, here's what you're going to do every day. We know what we're going to be doing. We've been doing this for 10 years. This was a startup company in the startup industry, so nobody had a clue. And that was a huge learning experience. You really experience that a company needs to have a learning curve. And that's one thing that I'm really proud of this company for having, is that we have a huge learning curve. Like Gary said, we're pretty coachable. And that's one of the things you need to survive. And as from what I learned, is you really need to be able to evolve and come up with products and evolve a little bit. So that was one of the things that I learned from my company, as well as just some things about, you know, how to motivate people, which is fun.
We are on the verge of something big. This is not a joke. The sky is the limit. That's actually a quote from Eva.
Oh. I don't remember saying that.
That's being so. I think that's a good story there. And so, finally, just say, what's next? We're all excited about this, and what are you going to do next?
We are really excited to be piloting our technology. Hopefully, by the end of the summer, we'll be adding clean, clean, clean water back into the river.
And does the company have a name already?
American Water Recycling Co.
Okay.
Corporation.
Well, we want to thank you very much for being with us here today. We've been visiting with Eva Beamer, Diego Capaletti, and Alex Pastor, also Gary Williams, and talking about American Water Recycling, which is the company that Eva, Diego, and Alex came up with. And if you're interested in finding out more information about learning about having your own company and learning more about entrepreneurship and stuff like that, you can call Gary's office. And that number again, Gary, is
920-0890.
Thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining me.
And thanks to Dennis Wu, our producer.
Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines.